I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is The Greg Hill Show. The Greg Hill Morning Show.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
With your host, Greg Hill.
Sunday is the day for the Pope. I doubt he's sitting down to watch 5-6 hours of football.
Some other team's Super Bowl.
Or as the Pope calls it, the Last Supper Bowl.
I love it.
Oh,
well done.
Greg. Thank you. Greg.
Wow, was that a bomb?
Featuring Greg's trusty sidekick, Danielle Murr.
The D is solid.
Really good.
Yeah.
Well, Danielle.
Despite what Wiggy.
Danielle.
How old are you? 7?
11.
Grow up.
You know other people chuckled when
no,
you said
No, they didn't.
Nobody's
chuckled.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that, there's a lot of grown-ups that chuckled.
Grown-ups? Yes. Grown-ups are not chuckling when I say
yes,
the D
are.
Is solid.
Yes, they know. Are.
Joined by.
They jealous of us.
Wiggy.
When we gonna get a day? They brought us over here today.
Every day is your day.
Really?
Yeah, you kidding me?
Coming from compost guy over there.
That's right. Excuse me. That's Mr. Curbside Compost to you.
I didn't understand that. Did you get
no,
what
that
was? I mean, some of these things he says. That
I need definition.
I don't
the,
even
with
know.
With the forethought and the intellect.
And still here, Ken and Curtis.
Vic already quit on Isaiah Wynn.
Jeez, I know. The first one.
There you go. And welcome to The Spin. Nick says something. It's mutated for their own benefit. By
you've already said the offense
Patriots
is broken.
Hater Incorporated.
I remember it's very touchy.
Like I remember the first. Touchy. I remember the first day I came in here and I said, "Yeah, I like Ken."
Now,
but we've got to be role models,
right?
Oh, God,
it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Oftentimes in my life, television is my soulmate.
I don't think you have to be a rocket science to figure that out.
Where the f- are they all? Jesus Christ!
On sports radio.
Cheers. Crushing beers. Watching the Pats.
From your lips to God's ears.
WEEI.
WEEI now.
Welcome to the Jermaine Wiggins Show with Greg Hill and Danielle.
Is that what it is?
And Curtis. And yeah, that's what it is. Oh. The Jermaine Wiggins Show with others. Jermaine and others. That's what it is. It's Jermaine and
Jermaine
others.
Jermaine and some other people.
Yeah, and some other people.
Clearly, they don't pay me like it's my own show.
Well, we'll work on that, Wiggy.
All right, I appreciate that.
You need some bargaining power.
I need something.
You need photos or something.
Listen, I need something. I need whatever Jason Garrett has on Jerry Jones. I need some leverage. Yes, that's what I need, Curtis.
Well, it's a Tuesday. We got a pretty big show coming up with Gronk coming in the studio around 9 or so. I'm sure that somewhere Nick is pacing back and forth at his house, disgusted that Wiggy gets to be here and he doesn't get to be here to spend an hour with Gronk today.
He's still calling the contest line trying to get in.
Yes, yeah, he's going to try to win his way in.
It'll be a good day for him to write down some good jokes tomorrow.
For tomorrow? Yeah, he can work on his material for tomorrow.
Never mind, Gronk. I'm crushed that my queen couldn't be here. Camille.
Oh, Camille, that's your queen?
Yes.
Why is she your queen?
Because I just love her.
What is it
She's
that you
just
love?
A peach.
What do you love about
She's
Camille?
She's a beautiful little freckled ball of positivity.
Oh, and she's not going to be coming in with Gronk?
She has a meeting.
She's got a meeting with social media, some kind of a social media meeting or
she's
something
like
that?
She's a big model, guy.
Social media meeting.
Probably got some kind of endorsement deal in the books or something. Sad.
All right, well.
I love you, Camille.
Rob Gronkowski will join us in the studio at around 9, and everybody in this place has lost complete control. There's people walking around, including Danielle, with countless items that have to be autographed, and I noticed that Stanley Stiz Grimey, our vice president of social media, has a Patriots honk T-shirt on. What a honk, Ken! Has he ever worn a Patriots T-shirt in the 2 months?
He's never talked sports in 2 months.
He's never had a sports discussion in his life, and he's got a Gronk 87 shirt on this morning.
Downstairs, Joe's naked, walking around the hall.
It's very exciting. Very exciting.
Oh, he's rubbing all CBD oil on somebody, so it's gonna be a good day.
Yes, it's gonna be
a good day for somebody.
Yeah, gonna be a good day.
This is The Lead.
All right, Ken, what do you got for a lead this morning?
Well, this is Rat, Round and Round, an old classic. And we keep going round and round with the Gronk stuff. He's still in the news. You set the tone yesterday asking him yet again, Tom Brady, that is, about Gronk and whether he would lobby for him to come back. And Jim Gray once again went there last night on Monday Night Football.
So this morning you said that you really didn't want to try and lobby Gronk. And it kind of just raises the question is why not? If he's leaving the door open and everybody knows what great success you have and great relationship you have, why not talk to him about it?
Well, that's a good question. But, you know, again, I think when people make those decisions that are really life-altering decisions, career changes and so forth, I mean, they're doing that, you know, with a lot of times pretty strong fortitude. So it's not really my place to try to speak to them and what changes they want to make on their life on my behalf. So if they want to make them, they should be on their behalf, not on my behalf.
So that right there at the end, it should be on Gronk's behalf.
Right.
They had a closed-door meeting. And they said, you know what? We're going to throw this back on Gronk. We're playing hard to get. We're not talking about Gronk. It's not my job to lobby Gronk. It's your job to show us you want to come back.
Oh.
They've got 2 weeks to decide whether to make a big trade. And this is the full court press the way the Patriots do it. They block out the noise, but they're making it known to Gronk, hey, you want to come back? You let us know.
They're ghosting on Gronk.
Yep.
Is that
what they're doing,
yes,
huh?
They're ghosting on Gronk.
I think he knows. We could ask him today.
Yes, we can.
I think he knows that there are people in that building would like to see him come back.
Right.
So I don't think they got a ghost on him or they got a lobby for him to come back. He knows that they would love to have him back, and there's probably an opportunity to come back. We heard Bill Belichick say it about Ben Watson when they let him go. Hey, the door isn't all the way shut.
Right, right. You can come back.
There's an opportunity.
Gronk doesn't want to come back, though.
Yeah, that's kind of what it seems like.
I don't think he wants to come back.
He just left the door open last week on national television.
Well, it's the brand. He's doing that because he likes people talking about it. He doesn't want to come back. He wants everybody speculating about whether or not he's going to come back.
When he speculates that, Curtis brought up this point a couple of weeks ago, when he speculates that and he talks about that, he becomes relevant. When we don't mention that, he just kind of fades away and goes to Miami and does the CBD thing, but is not really in the world of sports being talked about on a daily basis.
He wants to be in the conversation. So
right.
I don't believe there was any closed door meeting, Ken.
Well, you're wrong. My sources tell me otherwise.
Sources are telling you otherwise. Okay.
Well, Danielle's upset that her queen Camille is not coming with Gronk. I am upset that my king Perry is not going to be here today.
But I digress. Yes.
Anyway, last night, I love listening to Monday Night. In all seriousness, I'm glad he's back on. It's a phenomenal show, the best night show in Boston. And yesterday, he had Andy Hart in studio, who had a crazy theory on what Ben Watson signing means for the receivers with Tom Brady.
So they bring Watson back now. Could that be an indication that they are no longer worried about money? And if so, why would you not be worried about money? Because maybe the guy you're bringing back to inject life into the offense is technically already on your books. And there's only one name that would fulfill that criteria. AB84. Your Honor, I rest my case.
Jermaine Wiggins is standing up and applauding at a radio somewhere near you right now.
So, Andy Hart says that the reason they're bringing Ben Watson back is that they are no longer concerned about the cap issues because they already have Antonio Brown on the books.
Right.
So it's just a matter of time before AB84 is back in our lives with the New England Patriots.
Okay.
All right. I've been praying about this every night and every morning.
That's good. Make it
happen.
So far, we've covered the two topics that have been beaten to an absolute pulp on this radio station. Gronk coming back and AB coming back.
Oh, they move the needle.
They do move the needle. Yes, you're
yes,
right,
they
Jermaine.
Do.
Yes, they do. What do you got, Danielle?
The next edition of Hipsters Ruin Everything. Parents in Manhattan are upset about some local hipster beekeepers that have set up hives because the hives are attracting yellow jackets that feed on the bees, and the yellow jackets are stinging all the kids in the park.
Yeah, well, I think that makes a lot of sense why parents are upset about that.
They're little preciouses with their 15 vowel names that have to be different with six Y's in them are suffering multiple stings every time they try to go play tag.
Is that a big thing with hipsters is beekeeping?
Yes.
So they can have their own honey to put on their avocado toast in the morning?
The urban hive.
Okay. The urban hive.
Yeah.
So they're making their own honey, huh?
They're making their own honey.
WPS. Early in the morning.
Is that what it is? That's WPS, Wiggy?
Making your own honey, I guess.
All right, Wiggy, what do you got?
All right, so now I'm a fan of his on the basketball court, LeBron James, but This guy's got to be the biggest hypocrite around. Mm. We've already saw LeBron talk about social issues and people should have the ability to kind of, you know, say what they want to say. Well, we know the situation that happened with Daryl Morey and, yeah, and him making that tweet. Now, I am not as educated as LeBron would probably want me to be on this situation, but the guy tweeted about a protest that he felt like people were being treated unjustly, right? Right. And now LeBron was on television last night basically telling Daryl Morey, the GM for the Houston Rockets, you might not want to speak about stuff that you're uneducated or misinformed about. But LeBron, I always thought it was, you know, if you felt a certain way about something, you know,
stand up and speak your mind.
Yeah, speak your piece. You got the freedom of speech. But he said you have the freedom of speech, but you should think about what you say before you open your mouth.
Well, especially if it could affect his precious wallet and the wallet of the NBA.
Which it seems like it's doing. That whole situation, even though I know we didn't talk about it, but that was one of the craziest things that players weren't talking about it. GMs, owners, coaches, everybody was everybody was like, "Well, we don't really know what's going on over here. We're concerned about what's going on in our backyard." So,
well, we should listen to that LeBron audio a little later.
Oh, he sounds like a hypocrite.
Sounds like a big hypocrite.
Yeah.
We will do that at some point. From my perspective today, the officiating in the NFL has officially passed the point of no return. Green Bay got a gift last night in the phantom hands-to-the-face call, which ended up giving them a first down and giving them that game. And it's time for the NFL to do something. I don't know what they're going to do, Wiggy, but it's been bad call after bad call after bad call.
And they have the replay. What they should do is what Belichick said from, you know, a couple years ago. Everything should be reviewable.
Everything.
First, hands to the face, holding, everything should be reviewable. Just like we kind of see now with the pass interference, you should have the ability to challenge any call because there are some calls that, you know, I didn't see the Green Bay one, but the referees are horrible. There are calls that either go unnoticed or that are being called when, you know what, there was no penalty there.
All right, well, Jermaine Wiggins is here. Danielle is all ready for Gronk to come in and massage her up with CBD massage oil.
My neck, my back.
Everywhere.
My neck and my back.
Get
a little bit lower, Gronk.
You can call 617-779-7937 to be on this morning, or you can text 37937. Coming up next, Bill Belichick made his weekly appearance on the station yesterday, and he didn't like a certain question about receivers. So we will get to that next on The Greg Hill Show here at WEEI.
Later this morning, Patriots Hall of Famer Willie McGinnis joins Dale and Keith. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, not only did Bill Belichick not like questions about receivers, he didn't like Wiggy's nicknames that he threw out over the weekend for the defense. They tried to get you involved, Wiggy. Did you hear that?
Lawrence Guy loved it. No, I didn't hear it, but I know Lawrence Guy was all for Nightmare in New England.
There's a little bit of the Belichick OMF.
I thought the nickname was kind of interesting because people are trying to, you know, they're looking at your defense and how historic it could be, and they want to attach a name to it. So over the weekend, I did a show with Jermaine Wiggins. And I just want to give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down on Jermaine Wiggins, his suggestion. Defenders of defense.
Yeah, I'm not getting into the nickname business. We'll just try to.
How about the Sticky Bandits?
Did you really throw out the Sticky Bandits?
No, the Sticky Bandits was Rich Keefe.
No, okay.
I don't know. That wasn't mine. Mine was the Defender of Defense, though.
Well, hey, at least he didn't say who when Christian said Jermaine Wiggins.
All right. Who's that?
Right.
Never heard of
him.
There was a report that they were going to bring back tight end Ben Watson. That has not been confirmed by Belichick nor the Patriots. And Ian Rappaport says to this hour, the Patriots are making a move to bolster their tight end position with former Giants and Jets tight end Eric Tomlinson. So that's per a source to Rap Sheet. And the knee injury, of course, to Matt Lacoste behind all this. So maybe Ben Watson is not coming back. We'll see if that's confirmed later this morning or not. Week 6 in the NFL, though, is complete last night. Monday Night Football, as Hillman alluded to. Packers coming back with help from the refs. They beat the Lions 23-22 on a Mason Crosby field goal as time expired. Trey Flowers in the crosshair there with two hands-to-the-face penalties in the fourth quarter to extend drives. Pats and the Jets this week. N'Keal Harry could practice tomorrow. Belichick said they'll see how he looks. How about David Pastrnak yesterday? Hillman there again.
unbelievable.
What is it, four goals on the season?
Yeah, four goals. A four-goal game. I mean, that first line is on fire.
In fuego.
The only question is, will the others step up? Because that's similar kind of to what happened last year, Ken.
It's yeah.
That first line was responsible for most of the points in the regular season.
It's amazing, and I'm guilty of this too, but they win a game, and the top line dominates, and the first reaction from Bruins fans is, well, what about the rest of the scoring? Where's the secondary scoring?
But well, what ends up happening was opposite from the playoffs last year. The first line was like where they weren't nowhere to be found.
Right.
Regular season, they dominate and get to the postseason. Yeah. It's like, come on
and
now.
And 6,000 fans are still stuck in their seats at the Garden right now.
I sat in.
How are the seats? You sat in them?
I sat down behind the Bruins net, the one that they're shooting on first and third period, mm-hmm. and I had plenty of room. I mean, I was in the new seats, plenty of legroom.
Wow.
I felt I was luxurious, Curtis.
Garden spokesman Greg Hill.
It was comfortable, luxurious. I did unfortunately sit next to a couple elderly gentlemen
mm-hmm.
who had four seats together for the last 13 years. And they were sitting next to me, and their wives were in the other seats that were moved to another section.
Oh, so they lucked out.
I feel like they felt pretty good about it, actually. After sitting with their wives for 13 years at Bruins games, they were okay with being separated.
Sat by Dale and Glenn. That's nice. Next Red Sox GM will not be Andrew Friedman of the Dodgers. He is set to sign a new deal with L.A. By the way, the Bruins, key stretch coming up. Thursday night, Tampa, then home and home with Toronto. So two big games on the way. Baseball playoffs, Nationals took a 3-0 stranglehold. 8-1 win over St. Louis last night. They'll go for the sweep tonight at 8:05. 4:08 in the Bronx is the first pitch. Hillman, Garrett Cole, and Severino. That's on AM 850 on your transistor radio. Celtics picked up Jason Tatum's fourth-year option. No surprise for next year. Their preseason finale is tonight. It's the Greg Hill Show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Morning, Bill. I'm curious, what sort of role does Tom have to play in the development of the younger receivers?
What kind of role?
Wiggy, that's a question that Bill Belichick did not like on the conference call.
A bulky role.
Hey, bulky. Ooh. What is your favorite role? Is it the Kaiser? Is it the bulky? Is it the onion?
Sesame. I like the braided roll.
Oh, you like the braided roll?
Yeah.
I like a sourdough roll.
When you're getting like an Italian sandwich, then you want the braided roll.
Yeah, sometimes I don't mind. Or just the regular Spucky.
Why?
The Spuckies.
Why does he bristle at these questions when it comes to the receivers? Like when it comes to Tom Brady working with the younger wide receivers on this team, Wiggy, why is it such a no-go area? Like what? I don't get it.
Well, when you hear the question, it's the development of the receivers. Does Brady play a role in that? I think his role is to go out there and prepare and get guys to be prepared and get guys to try to be on the same page with him. So I don't know. See, sometimes I feel like Bill looks at the questions like, that's a dumb question. Like,
yeah.
What role is Brady?
Like, it's obvious what Tom Brady's role is.
Right.
Is what you're saying.
Well, you know, the role that he's playing, it's not like he can go out there and do their jobs for them. They meet all the time. They study film. They work together as a group. We talked to James White about this yesterday on Dale and Keith, and I, one of the questions I ask is, what do you guys do as a group specialist-wise, wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, tight end, to make sure that you're trying to be on the same page in the passing game? They meet, they stay after practice, they get out there early. So they're he's doing all the things that he can possibly do to help develop these guys.
Why does he have to be an ass, though? Why can't he just say that? He's trying to develop them. He, you know, works with them before and after practice, gets on the same page. Next question.
Because Bill's been...
Do you not think he understood the question?
No, he does.
How long was that pause? Was that like 47 seconds or something like that?
It was 9 seconds, but it felt like 90.
God, that's a long time.
But that's his personality. I mean, when are we going to stop asking the question, why does he have to be an ass? He's been doing it for, what, 20 years?
He's been an ass for 20 years.
All right, keep it going another 20.
Why can't you go, all right, let me try to phrase the question where he won't be an ass? And maybe he'll give me, not like he's going to give me anything great, but maybe at least he won't give me the 10-second, you know, pause of death.
Well, he's our ass, and we like our ass. That's what drives me nuts is that people like Curtis and others in the media – they want him to be Mr. Respectful and Mr. Polite and Mr. Kind. We don't. The rest of it, we don't. We like him as an ass. We like the fact that he wins football games.
That's what it is.
And this has literally zero to do with why they win football games.
No, we've gone down this road plenty of times before. It might not be a huge percentage of why they win, but it is definitely
it's
a part of what they do down there, and it doesn't bleed into the locker room, and it's not one of those things where now players might say something that puts them in a bad situation. That's
right. 617-779-7937 is the number if you would like to call this morning. Heads up that Gronk will be in here at around 9, and he's bringing the CBD massage oil. He's not bringing Camille, which is Danielle has been very upset about. Because
can
that's
I just
her.
Go? We'll bring Nick in.
That's her go-to
he'd be down here, quick, fast,
he's
and
here. He's
jumping an Uber.
Yeah.
That's Danielle's go-to follow on the Instagram.
Absolutely.
Speaking of that, I did share on my Instagram a photo demonstrating the massive amount of leg room that I had at the Boston Garden yesterday for the Bruins game.
I don't think you understand the meaning of the word massive. You couldn't even fit Curtis between your knees in those seats, Guy.
Very comfortable yesterday.
No. What a honk for the Garden.
Oh, my
God.
Look at that.
Free vodka.
I wish you had taken a top view instead of a back view of the knees there.
I was seated in Loge 7. And,
did you pay for those seats?
Fantastic day yesterday at the Garden. I probably will. At some point, I'll probably be billed, I would imagine. Uh-huh. But I felt very comfortable, very comfortable.
You felt comfortable like that?
Yeah, I felt comfortable.
What?
I felt comfortable.
Did anyone have to shimmy by you with two beverages?
I did stand up several times and allow people to walk by.
Did you put Crisco on your legs to get up?
The poor guy in front of you has got to sit up forward so the other guy can sit back so they won't be wedged in there.
Listen, Curtis, at my age, I'm thankful for the contact. Like, if I'm standing, in line and I get some incidental contact, it's been a pretty good day. So
did you sigh loudly every time someone walked by?
Yes, I harumphed.
Rub and tug.
Okay. Oh, go ahead.
Again, Jim, prostate problem.
So my Instagram is Greg Hill, WEEI, and you can follow me there. And in fact, I would assume that we will go social media live when Gronk comes in here. I think we have a massage table coming in. And so
amazing.
Do you want to be massaged?
No, I'm good. I am good.
What do you mean you're good?
I'm just.
You don't have any like aches and pains?
I do.
Well, you don't want Gronk to throw some some CBD massage oil on you?
Yeah, I'm just, you know.
Are you like worried about a man massaging you?
Well, it's just a certain, it's got to be the proper situation.
What
is he a doctor?
Two tight ends therapist? Rubbing up against each other? Come on.
Is he a massage therapist?
I Googled that once.
What is the prevailing rule? We learned what the rule was when it comes to a hot tub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is the rule for a massage? I mean, am I going to keep my underwears on?
We hope so.
Okay. Right. Nundies for the massage?
Well, if it's professionally done, it's always nundies. Okay. So they can really get in there deep.
All right.
You know, if you like a guy doing it, then that's fine. If you like a female, whatever your choice is, but...
Well, today my masseuse is none other than Rob Gronkowski.
Right. Mm.
So I'm gonna have to probably have to take my shirt off.
I would go Nundies.
Fiesta.
You go Nundies.
Nundies. Throw a towel. Let him really get
towel?
Deep. Yeah. Right. Let him get deep into you know your sciatic or maybe your glutes.
Yeah.
A hand cloth like AB.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, Rob Gronkowski in the studio with us.
Work out those problem areas.
At about 9 this morning, and I will go Instagram Live, and I'm sure we will do that with the various social media feeds of this show. So I hope you'll be here for that at 9. Coming up next, we'll get to today's Nation of Pussies report and discover why a youth football coach is getting fined because his team is too good.
Oh, my God. So only in America.
Yes, that is all coming up next.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back to the Greg Hill Show on Sports Radio WEEI. If you find time, we can run one. Talk about some things we can undo. You just in the pen, I can find you. 6-1 on the money, 9-2. You just say the word and I run through. 2 texts, no reply, that's when I knew.
Yeah, circumnavigate the globe as the cash grows. Get a whack like you get the grass mold. I'm talking slick when I'm with the big slime.
Little yacht rap for Wiggy this morning.
I like the yacht rap.
Who's that, Wiggy?
Is that a Young Thug? What'd you say?
Young Thug.
Young Thug.
Young Thug.
Ken, if I ask Wiggy who that is and then you tell him.
I listen to it. Young
Thug. You tell him in his ear that accomplishes nothing.
Oh. Yeah.
No. Don't give him a crib sheet.
Oh, yeah, we're doing the what is the game we did?
So we
the
cheat.
WPM game?
Yeah.
Ken Trebek.
I do like Young Thug, though. Dress is a little different for my taste, but I like him.
Young Thug?
Yes.
Is there an old Thug?
There probably is.
There probably is?
Yeah, definitely one out there. Just haven't heard his music yet.
All right. Wiggy is here, and Gronk will be here around 9 or so with the CBD massage oil. I did want to discuss the youth football coach in Pennsylvania, Wiggy, who is about to be fined because his team is too good.
Yeah.
This is today's Nation of Pussies report. And you hear about this where a coach gets in trouble because they have some kind of a limit on how many points a team can score, and a coach gets in trouble. I don't believe we've ever heard of a coach being financially affected by this. And they're talking, Danielle, about this guy. They exceeded the limit of points that they could score.
Correct.
In Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And he is facing a fine.
He's facing a possible $500 fine and a 2-game suspension. The guy's name is Kyle Williams.
And they're going to suspend him.
They're going to suspend him, yeah.
They're going to suspend him from youth football.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
So, a volunteer now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like we have enough of those, right? Right? They're coming out of the woodwork. So this is the Keystone Sports League in Philly, and they have the kids are no older than 7 years of age that are in the league, okay?
Yeah.
And they have a league rule that prevents a team from going up by more than 30 points. So they have 2 minutes left in this game. Coach calls a timeout, pulls the starters off the field, wants to throw in some kids that never get to touch the ball. Okay,
great idea.
Mm-hmm. So
get them in there.
Yep. Right?
7-year-olds.
Yeah. Right.
Let them get a little burn.
Get on the field.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's when I used to get in.
Right.
Any sport.
That's it. At the end of the game.
Hoops in high school, if we were up by 35, they'd say double zero, get off the bench.
Get off the bench.
You got 2 minutes.
Enjoy it.
Show us what you can do. Okay.
So one of the second stringers, a 5-year-old kid, gets the ball and he starts running toward the end zone. Now the score was already 30-0.
Okay.
So the coach is running alongside the kid, repeatedly telling him he's got to fall down. The kid still scores.
Because he's 5.
Because he's 5.
And he wants to score a touchdown.
He wants to score a damn touchdown.
He wants to score a touchdown.
So now the score is 36-0, and the coach is in trouble with the league. And I just
give me a break.
Can't.
Give me a break.
It's disgusting.
When is the nonsense going to stop in this country?
It's never going to stop. It's only going to get worse because there'll be the people out there that will defend it and go, well, they're up 30-0. What are the kids learning when they're scoring?
They're learning how to win. They're learning how to be successful.
Right.
They're learning that when in life, in business, in life, when you have your foot on the throat of somebody, you don't take it off.
Right. You apply pressure.
You apply pressure. That's you. The object of life is to try to win.
Right.
Not to ease up.
Or learn how to lose.
And make it a right. Yes. Or learn how to lose.
But is it
yes.
too embarrassed?
No, it's not too embarrassed.
Oh,
so,
boy.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So the other kids were embarrassed. They're 7 years old, Curtis.
Right. They probably shouldn't even be keeping score for seven-year-olds playing games.
Well, then don't keep score. If you want to do that, then don't keep score. But once you keep score, now that means there's a winner and a loser. And they have this rule similar to what Danielle was talking about in Massachusetts for Pop Warner, that if you go up by a certain amount, I'm not sure if they'll fine you, but they
you have to write a letter. You have to write a letter
about
why your team is good.
Right.
Like you have to explain why you're good.
I don't care if the kids are 2 years old or 20 years old. Once you keep score, there's going to be one team that, hey, maybe that other team is way better than you and they score, the final score is 100-2. You just keep going out there and you keep playing. You learn from this. You learn from the
What do
lumps.
You learn from losing 62-0? That can't be taught if you lose 28-0.
Right. You learn that, hey, guess what? Sometimes you're going to really get beat up on.
Right.
And you got beat up on by 4 touchdowns. Does it really make a difference if it's 10?
Wait, how do you tell the kids that are up by 4 touchdowns? What do you tell them?
Hey, run right up the middle and fall down when you get touched.
Oh, so that's the world we live in.
that's the rule, Wiggy. There's a rule that you can't score when you're up 30-0.
Well,
so you're breaking the rule if you score.
It's a stupid rule is
what
we're saying.
Well, complain about that. Don't complain about the...
Well, that's what we're saying. It's a stupid rule.
So you think that this guy who volunteers gives his time to coaching football, who tried to stop the little 5-year-old from scoring a touchdown, ought to have to cough up $500?
Well, he probably didn't teach his kids the rules. So learn the rule book and teach your kids.
Well, then that should be a rule. You can only make a certain amount of money.
When I was in middle, or I was like 6 or 7 years old, Dover basketball went down to Fall River. We lost like 92-6. Yeah. I did not learn anything that day.
Yes, you did.
We were awful. And you learned
that you got up the next morning and you went back out there and gave it another shot.
Right. I mean,
my dad gave me a big chicken nuggets on the way home and he said, I'm sorry about that, Christopher.
he gave you a lifesaver too?
Yes.
like the commercial?
Maybe he didn't learn, but maybe the kids from Fall River learned. Hey, when you get up ahead, keep going. That's how you make it in life.
The fans were even chanting, it's all over, go back to Dover. My whole day was ruined.
Ruined. We actually have some sound from the coach.
From the coach who's going to maybe pay this $500 fine. Okay.
It's my responsibility because I knew the rule. It's 30-0. Good game with our kids. Also with the other kids, too, because they was out there playing. They didn't give up. 2 minutes left. I called a timeout. Less than 2 minutes left. I called a timeout because I want to pull the starters off the field. I put kids in that normally never played. 5 years old, you don't run the ball, got the ball, and he took off running. Me knowing the rule of this slaughterhouse rule, the 31-point rule, I ran down the sideline with him running. Fall down, fall down, fall down. I had 3 sons. I'm not going to tell my son, especially if he's running the ball, don't go out there and give it your all.
Yeah,
right.
Well, that's contradictory. He's admitting he made a mistake, and then he's saying he's not going to tell his kid.
Well, he's admitting that there is a rule, and he's saying that I know this rule is out there, but I'm not going to tell my kids to, you know, fall down or
well, he
do
was telling
give
the
up.
Kid that scored to fall down.
Yeah, he was, because he knows the rule.
But sounds like not, a jabroni.
He's not going to tell him to give up.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, we have this rule in high school in Massachusetts.
In Massachusetts,
if you go up by 30 in the fourth quarter, the clock has to continue to run.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. You're talking about high school kids.
Right.
17, 18-year-old men.
Right.
They got to grow up.
And don't they have it in, like, softball, like girls softball, if there's or maybe baseball, high school baseball, when you're up by a certain amount, they automatically end the game?
We are creating a nation of people who don't know how to win and don't know how to lose. They only know how to tie. Hello, Mike.
Hey, no, two things. First off, I coach youth football. When you don't keep score, everyone still keeps score. So that's BS.
Right,
you
right,
can do
course.
That.
Right, yes.
And second thing, I had a buddy who was stomping on the team. They had the same rule. So he started punting when he was up 30-0 on first down every time. I told him I'd rather lose 100-0 than have you punt to me on first down. And the other idiot team when it was fourth down, they punted back. If you know they're going to punt on first down, why would you not go for it on fourth down?
So they were both punting back and forth so that nobody would score.
Fitzy would love that game. All the special teams.
So many special teams.
I mean, this is Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, yeah, so I was saying, like, I'm 30 when I was younger in, like, Little League and stuff. They had the slaughter rule, and once you go up by 20 runs or whatever, they end the game. I'm like, you still win and get to say you destroy the other team, but you're not going to get fined for some stupid going over how many points or whatever. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah, but they shouldn't end the game. Play the game. Guess what? In the world of sports or the world we live in, sometimes you get slaughtered by a lot. Sometimes you get slaughtered by a little bit. But you don't stop the game. You don't change the rules. Oh. You don't try to make the make people feel like, oh, my God.
But doesn't it stand to reason that the fine's been implemented because they've tried to have coaches do this and they haven't been listening, so they have to put in further measures to make the coaches pay
attention? No, it's not. As somebody who was a volunteer coach for a lot of years, it's not the coaches. It's the parents who are the ones that complaining. And so they have to come up with these rules to appease these parents. You got to, certain kids got, you can only play the starters for this amount. My kids got to play this amount. If the game goes up by this, we have to, take a knee.
Because the parents are butthurt for the kids. The kids aren't even hurt.
No.
The kids move on. They're 7 years old. They don't care. Do you remember a youth football score right now?
No. No, I don't remember. But even if they're old, what's the difference if they're 14 years old? They will remember it. It's part of the world we live in. So you're going to get to a point. Do we live in a world when you get to a point and you make a lot of money and then somebody goes, you're making too much money?
Yes, we do.
We have
several candidates for president who are Democrats mm-hmm. who would like to enact that.
They want that rule.
You need to stop making money because you're getting too far ahead of some of these people who don't make as much as you.
This is where it comes from. It started in youth sports. It started with everybody getting a trophy. And so now these people have grown up. And they're like, wait a second.
Hold on.
And they're running for president.
When I played sports, everything was fair and equal. And nobody was allowed to win by too many points. Why is this person allowed to make so much money? Sorry, guys. I'm dying. Yeah. This is Eric. Hello, Eric.
Hey, Greg. What's going on?
What's up, Eric?
So I used to be a coach here up in New Hampshire, right across the line, Salem, New Hampshire. When you get to a certain point, I think it was 31, you get mercied. They'd put the scores at zero. You'd have a running clock. The team that mercied you would only be able to run up the middle, and you couldn't do pass plays, stuff like that. But, I mean, they kept playing.
What does that teach the kids?
Right.
Does that teach them anything about football? We're going to run up the middle every time.
Right. So no, you can't throw the football.
Great. Awesome.
Bert and Ernie are going to do a special on this for Sesame Street on how not to run up the score.
Right. You're up by 30. Don't throw the football. Why can't we throw the football no more, Coach? Because if we throw the football, those parents over there are going to have hurt feelings because you're already slaughtering their Scribini kids.
It's online only, Curtis.
This is Paul. Hello, Paul.
Hey, morning, you guys.
What's up, Paul?
All right. Well, hey, unfortunately, football has finally caught up with us. We have been suffering with this stupidity for the past 7 years, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
On the soccer side, first offense, $150 fine. Second offense is coach is gone for the year.
Wow. In soccer. By how many goals? So,
seven. Well, I think they may have hedged it up to eight, but originally it was seven.
Yeah. Okay.
Imagine that, a volunteer coach suspended for the year because his team won,
right?
Not 8-0.
Unreal.
So I got a funny one for you. So I'm almost there a couple weeks ago, right? So my madman goalkeeper decides he wants to try to score a goal too. So picture a coach on the sidelines looking to tackle his goalkeeper. They're just...
You don't fine a guy $500 because his team did too well. I mean, what a horrible message to send. Hello, Philip.
Hey, good morning. I'm a coach out here in hockey in Westminster, and we have a draft. So when you draft, you get an A player, a B player, so forth and so on. And it doesn't always work out the best. At one point, we had a team where we were consistently losing 10-0, 10-2. And the kids got down somewhat. But I always told my kids, I said, hey, this is life. If you don't learn how to lose, you'll never know what it's like to win. And at one point, we went up against the first-place team. We had a full bench and a second line, but we only had five kids, including a goalie.
Yeah.
We played that first-place team to a 4-4 tie after three periods. Now you know what it's like to win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the other lessons that some of these kids need to learn is that maybe this sport isn't for you. Maybe you're just not good enough.
That can't be taught at 35-0. It has to be 70-0. What's your point? That's so idiotic.
The point is to the parents, it's like, you know what? Maybe you should try your kids out in another sport. There are a lot of sports out here. Maybe the sport isn't for you because nowadays, as somebody who coaches, like I said, you can't say certain things to parents in this. But maybe guess what? Your kid's just not good enough.
Right. Try the band.
Yeah, try something
else. Try art.
There's a lot of things you could do. But if he plays this sport here, football, he might just sit on the bench all game.
And that's a pretty good lesson, too.
Right.
Is sitting on the bench is a pretty good lesson. This is Craig. Hello, Craig.
Hey, boys. How we doing this morning?
What's going on, Craig?
So I coached youth football for 15 years, and I got out of it a couple years ago for just this very reason, right? Everybody gets a trophy. But aside from that, I got fined four times. I didn't have to pay the fine. The organization did. The Pop Warner had rules, at 28, it's a running clock. You have to run up the middle. You have to not run your running backs. You got to run line. I mean, all these different rules. And I just, at some point, you're going to get a kid hurt that doesn't play that position because you're playing them out of position. So long story short, four times our organization got fined $500 a time for excessive scoring. So I no longer coach football. I now coach basketball exclusively, which is beautiful.
You're fined for being too good.
Yeah, but be careful. In basketball, it's the same thing. You score too many points, they're going to be complaining.
You know who needs this mercy rule? Bentley football. Oh, boy, the worst way.
How dare you, Ken?
Wow.
Yikes.
How dare you?
Would you guys admit there are coaches that are trying to fulfill something lacking in their own life by running up the score with kids? Can you admit there are bad coaches in youth sports?
Yeah, there's bad coaches in youth sports. We know that. But I think it's more about these rules that are put in place. Like whether it's, we got to change the way the game is played because we don't want to hurt feelings over there, or we got to be careful. We're not teaching them anything. If the score, and regardless if the score is 70-0 or 30-0, these rules are implemented and these kids are not learning.
Right.
When we used to get beat by a lot of points, which wasn't often, I would just tell the kids that, hey, listen, that's why you have to prepare all week in practice. That's why you got to make sure
you're seven.
No, I'm not talking about 7-year-olds. I'm talking about kids that are a little bit older. But even at 7 years old, you're out there. You got to make sure if this is what you want to do, you got to make sure you're sticking to it and you're coming to practice. And at practice, you're working.
They're not ready to play when they get to high school if every time they were up by a couple touchdowns, they had to run the ball up the middle. What have they learned?
Tom Brady, Michael Jordan didn't play basketball until high school. It wasn't like he had to play when he was seven.
But that's different, though. That's completely different. He was a kid who got cut his sophomore year in high school. And he was just – and he, if you ever watch his documentaries, he said by him getting cut, changed his mindset and – basically, he came back the next year.
The point is they're 7 years old. They're doing this instead of running around in their backyard. Most of them don't even like the sport. They're just doing it to make friends and have something to do in the afternoon.
But see, there are a lot of kids, though, at maybe 7, 8 years old, there are a lot of kids who do like the sport. And that's the problem with parents. Parents put their kids in the things they don't want to do.
Right.
And that's what ruins the experience for them. There are kids out there that love playing football at 7 years old, and this is all they want to do, and they look up to Gronks and Brady's, and they love their every Saturday or Sunday when they play. This is what they want to do.
Yeah, this is John from California. What's up, John?
Hey, Greg.
Hey.
So, just a few minutes ago, your jock mentality took over a little bit, and you said, if you're not good at football, go try the band or art, as if those activities are inferior to sports.
No.
When band, especially marching band, is a very athletic activity as well.
First of all, if you'd ever seen me play any sport, I do not have a jock mentality because I rode the pine. That was my job in all sports, ride the pine. But I was merely saying that if you're not good at football,
there's other things you could do. Could be baseball.
It doesn't have to be a sport.
Right.
Could be Fortnite. Go play Fortnite. I'm not knocking the marching band or the guys that are cheerleaders or whatever. Go try to be a cheerleader.
I don't like your tone when you just said that.
Go try. We got a couple cheerleaders, male cheerleaders on the Patriots cheerleering staff.
Yeah.
You seen those guys?
That's the thing. They're pretty athletic,
Wiggy.
That's the thing. Guys can now be cheerleaders.
Right.
Because no one wants the girl that's the base and isn't an NFL cheerleader. Unpopular opinion, but whatever. That's a fact.
Listen,
you don't think that they need to bring Barbara in to be the base and an NFL cheerleader?
Let Steve be the base.
We're next.
Rope her lady part.
Just one.
This is Rob from Swampscott. What's up, Rob?
Hey guys, how are you?
Good. How are you, Rob?
Good. Hey, Danielle, your old hood.
Yes.
I coach Little League in our great town for about 10 years, and I watched it go from a league where coaches were able and cared about coaching kids up to the point where parents took the league over because they were afraid that little Jimmy or little Johnny's feelings were going to get hurt if they didn't play the position that they wanted to for as many innings as their friend. And you guys have both touched on it. I think Wiggy's right, and I also think Curtis is right. With the young kids, okay, don't keep score. You don't keep score, everything gets so much easier. With the older kids, and let's just say in Little League, for instance, let's say 11 and 12-year-olds, it's the oldest in Little League before you go up to Senior Little League. Those kids, if you're coaching those kids at like a major league level in Little League, those kids want to play. They like the game, and they're probably good at it, most of them. Some of them are still there, friends, and maybe one on each team is there because their mother or father wants to take some class at the Y and wants their kid babysat. And those are real numbers.
Yeah.
You got probably six real players, three kids who are there for social reasons, and someone else who you're babysitting, and you spend 90% of your time with 10% of the team correcting them. Coaches can't win these days.
No.
For starters, we're not getting paid. Okay,
yeah.
We're not getting paid, and when you actually coach kids up, people accuse you of being over the top.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And here's the dichotomy that strikes me. Parents want to keep score until their kid's team gets their ass kicked.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly, Rob. Yeah. I mean, you heard it in Curtis's voice.
Right.
He's like, these coaches are trying to live their failed sports lives.
Absolutely.
No, they're not.
There is an element of this. Absolutely. Every coach volunteers. There's no such thing as a paid youth coach. I mean, why do we keep saying volunteer?
Well,
everyone's a volunteer.
And this guy in Pennsylvania is going to get $500, $500 fine he's going to have to come up with. Because his team is too good.
Because he's probably been warned a dozen times. This wasn't the first time this happened, and they slap him with a $500 fine. Do you believe it this first time?
Yes, I do.
Really?
But what's the rule there for, though? Why do you even need this rule? If the team is getting beaten up by 30 or 40 or 50 points, hey, that's just part of the game. It's the way the world works. It's how life is. It's what happened when you play a sport.
Yes, you could lose. In life, you can lose.
What?
I hate to break it to these people. We got to take a break.
Oh, okay.
But we will continue. Gronk is going to be in here at 9. He's bringing the CBD massage oil. I will go get some kind of a towel to cover myself pre-massage. Wiggy not interested in a Gronk massage.
No,
which is kind of surprising.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a professional.
The man has big hands.
Yeah, well.
Talented hands.
Catching footballs.
For catching footballs only. That's what the hands are for. That's what you say. Wiggy says, Gronk, your hands are for catching footballs only, not for massaging me. But Gronk will be in here at 9, and we will be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.